from Anshe Svar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of appreciating remorse. We know that in order to do tshuva, in order to repent, this time of the 10 days of repentance, or at any time of the year, we have to have remorse. As the Rambam says, what is tshuva? Yisnachem ha-shalavar. You should feel bad about the past. So we'd like to understand, what exactly does it mean to feel bad, to have remorse? This word, yitnachem, you should, acharei shuvi nichamti, haftorah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Jeremiah 31, says that after I repented, I had a change of heart. Nichamti means I changed my mind. I had a new perspective on things. I had a change of heart. That's idea number one. What else? The Rambam also writes at the very beginning about the confessional. He actually says that the confessional itself should include the idea that I nichamti, I have regret, I had change of mind, uvoshti masai. I'm also embarrassed. I'm ashamed of what I've done. We have to understand, why is shame important? Why can't we just say, look, I have a new course, didn't like what I did before, but I'm going to just do better. You know, why can't we focus on, why do you have to be ashamed of the past? After all, people are always complaining that Judaism is too focused on guilt. So what's all this business of shame? Interesting. Then we go on. Rambam also speaks about the idea that a person should not be haughty about themselves. You know, after all, each one of us is a Baal Tshuva. We're all trying to repent from various sins that we do. Every year in Yom Kippur, everybody's repenting. So you're trying to repent, do better. You regret things you've done. So you shouldn't be too haughty in general. Part of regret is not being haughty about who you are, what you've done. That's the Rambam. Rambam also mentions that it's proper for a person who's penitent to be shvolim, in general, to be sort of humble. Then we move on to the Sharei Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah of Gerona was related to the Ramban, Nachmanides, lived in their eastern Spain, you know, near Barcelona and all that. And he has a book on Sharei Tshuva, all the gates of Teshuvah. He tried to expand the Rambam's ideas. As the Rambam says, maybe there are four elements of tshuva. For the Rabbeinu Yonah, there are 20 elements of tshuva. And part of that is to expand on the notion of regret or remorse. So he says, number one, yagon. He talks about actual sorrow, actual moaning and groaning. He says, there are two elements of sin. We sin with our heart, we sin with our eyes. For the sin of the heart, you have to atone with moaning, groaning, feeling anguish in the heart. The sin of the eyes, we have to have tears with our eyes. He also says that there's also, you have to do something about it. The idea of moaning and groaning and tears, it's about having action. You have to have some action. And that's important as well. If you have to sort of break your heart, because there's an interesting halachic metaphor that if you have a pot that's improperly impure, then there's really nothing, not much you can do about it. You may have to just break it. If you break it, then it could become pure. You could solder it back together. But you break your heart, you can cleanse it. It can purify your heart. He talks about worry. Worry of a lot of things. Worry of, what have I done in the past? Worry, will I be able to stop doing it in the future? Worry, did I do enough teshuva? Worry about the punishment that's coming. So there are a lot of elements to this remorse, feeling bad in general, also worrying about what I did and also about what I might do in the future. There's an idea that we should never rest assured that we're never going to go back to the sin. Always have to be vigilant about it. The Rabbeinu Yonah goes on and he says that there's also an idea of busha, klima, and cherba. Busha is one level. As commentators point out, klima is a higher level of shame, which might involve the blushing. And cherpa is like a stain on you, that you feel stained by what you've done. And we try to get rid of that stain as part of the process of tshuva. The final idea is something we alluded to in the Rambam, and that is to feel lowly, to sort of lower yourself, not to carry yourself haughtily. After all, it says in Tehillim, Zivchei Elokim Ruach Nishbar, the best offering to God is a broken heart. So that's a little bit about that. Now, if we ask ourselves, why is it necessary to have so much regret and remorse? So we have a few commentaries from more recent times who can share with us a little bit about this. Number one, we have the Maharal of Prague. Maharal of Prague says that when a person is ashamed of a sin, it shows that you remove yourself and you distance yourself from the sin. So for instance, let's say someone has a friend and says, the friend, you're ashamed of something the friend did, so you distance yourself from it. Same thing with a sin. If we're not ashamed, then we don't really realize what's going on. Sometimes you have a sin that feels good. When you do the sin, you enjoy it. Let's say a juicy piece of Lashon Hara. You really enjoy the gossip that you say. So then, in order to repent from it, what's going to stop me? My brain's going to say, oh, do it again, you'll enjoy it again. It'll be great. Get another rush of adrenaline. There has to be some counterbalance to that. So if you remember that, yes, I did have a rush of adrenaline, but then, afterwards, I felt ashamed about it. So if I want to feel better about myself in the long run, I better not do it. So the shame is necessary to prevent coming back again, the recidivism, because as the Maharal of Prague points out, you want to distance yourself from it, and shame helps you distance yourself from it, and it won't grow in you. See, if you felt it was enjoyable, so the desire to do it might grow more and more. But if you say to yourself, oh, I enjoyed it, but then I felt ashamed about it, sometimes we forget about that. Sometimes our brain plays tricks, physical tricks on us, that we remember the joy, the pleasure, we forget the shame. So the part of tshuva is to bring the shame back in, even when the mind plays tricks against us. Then we have Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, a great Hasidic Rebbe, great scholar also. So he says, let's look at Aaron, the high priest. Let's sort of take an excursion for a second. What did Aaron, the high priest, he had a special trick. He loved people genuinely, and because he loved them so much, he kept people away from sin. How? Because they would say, you know, I'm a good friend of Aaron. I can't do that. That would be despicable. A good friend of Aaron would do something like that. I can't do that. So he says, if Aaron could stop people from sinning because they knew that he loved them, then if we know that God loves us, and if we love God, then we're not going to sin so much because we say, how can I do that? After all, I'm such a good friend with God. So knowing God loves you, on the positive side, keeps us away from sin, shame, or on the negative side, and knowing about the love, on the positive side. The Maharal has another thought as well. Gemara talks about the Erechin, how far do you have to go to rebuke somebody? Now, today we don't rebuke anyone. We don't. The rabbi gives mild rebuke, but the real strong rebuke, we can't do that anymore. No rabbi, no person is worthy to give rebuke, says the Gemara, and no person who we give it to is worthy of receiving rebuke. They're just gonna be mad at you. It's not going to help anything. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you should not talk to him anymore. Maybe you should even hit him. Again, today we find that strange. But again, the law is we don't rebuke people to this at all or to this degree anymore. But let's think about what it means that you would maybe rebuke someone by saying, you did that, I can't talk to you anymore. Of course, after a while you talk to them, but at first, maybe not to talk. And this was an idea that Gemara raises. So he says, what does that mean? When you get mad at someone, maybe you make them blush, maybe you reject them, you're rejecting their image of God. Every person carries the image of God, and you're saying, I'm kind of distancing myself a little bit from that person. And when a person feels rejected, they feel they've lost their tzel mokim, the image of God on them. And that should make them want to repent. See, the question is, why is shame necessary? Because a person should realize the differential between our potential of being a little less than God, as it says in the Psalms, and where we are, which is often sinful and shameful. That gap is what spurs us on to say, wait a second, this is not for me. This disparity is not going to work. And when you realize, another commentary mentions the purity of a soul, you recognize the purity of your soul versus the despicable nature of the sin. So then you say, these two things don't go together. That disparity, that dissonance, that could be something that could really save us. The Michtam Eliyahu has mentioned that. That Eliyahu Dessler mentioned that it's the contradiction between who you should be, your idealized self, and the sinful self, that should remind us that this is no way to live. I want to go and I want to repent. So, the Rambam mentioned regret. He said the confession includes regret and shame. He talked about lowliness, humility, being ashamed of our deeds, the opposite of haughtiness. The Michtam Eliyahu mentioned the idea of the contradictions, that we should feel a contradiction between who we could be and the sin. Rabbi Yona mentioned a lot of different elements. The anguish that comes from the purity of the soul, the storm that should be brewing in your heart, the moaning of the heart, the tears of the eyes. That's a type of affliction that actually it serves as a penance. Why should we be ashamed? It serves as penance for what we've done. And we should worry for our lack of worship, worry for punishment, worry that we'll repeat it again. And sometimes we need to take some physical expression of this remorse by like slapping our knee and saying, how could I have done that? How could I have possibly done that? And sometimes it's the shame in the face that reminds us, wait, this face is supposed to be the image of God. Instead, I'm blushing, I'm humiliated. That gap should wake us up, shake us up, and hopefully make us feel like we want to repent. And finally, we mention again the idea of Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, who says, you know what's going to shake you up? When you remember how much Hashem loves you, you say, someone as so beloved of God is going to do that. That itself should stop us from sinning. So, let's hope that in this period of tshuva, leading up to Yom Kippur and beyond, the tshuva period continues through the end of Sukkos, and Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, and really, it goes through Chanukah. Really, the truth is, the whole year needs to be working on tshuva. It's a mitzvah that has a special time during the 10 days of repentance, as the Rambam says, but it's always good. It's always good to do tshuva, and these are the elements, and unfortunately, or fortunately, there is an element of shame that needs to be there. Otherwise, we're overwhelmed the sense of all the benefits of sin, and we forget about how the sin can also lead us to shame, which is not a feeling that anyone wants to have. And hopefully, that'll keep us on the right track. I want to wish everyone a Gemar Chasima Tova, a good year, 5779, and going into the future as well. Thank you, Jason Lefkowitz, our producer, and thanks for joining us here at the Anshei Sfarad Beth Elometz Congregation here in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.